Please be seated.
Good morning, church.
Man, this is an awesome crowd. This is a great way to begin the new year. Again, just want to welcome everyone here, especially our visitors and guests. We are so glad to have you with us today, and we certainly hope you'll come back and visit with us again any chance that you may have. As you guys can see, we're going to be beginning a new series today called Running the Christian Race, and I'm going to get into that in just a few minutes and kind of explain why I thought this would be a great series to begin our new year. But first of all, I just want to say how much I missed you guys while I was gone during the Christmas vacation. Always miss you guys. This is probably the most loving congregation I have ever worked with. You guys are so loving and you're so good to our family. And whenever we're gone, we miss you. And it's just so good to be back. But I do appreciate that time with my mom and dad. We always spend Christmas with my mom and dad, and we spend Thanksgiving with Julie's side of the family. And so, again, you guys were missed, but thank you so much for letting me spend some time with my family. For those of you who are visiting with us, one of the things you may not know about me is that I love sports. Throughout my lifetime, I've played all kinds of sports. High school, it was basketball, baseball, football, and then later on, I got into church softball. I was also in high school on the golf team. I also played a little bit of tennis and racquetball. I mean, anything I can pick up, any sport that I feel like I can be a part of, I'm going to jump in and be a part of that. And now, since we've moved to Winter Haven, our family now plays in a community of around probably close to 60 people playing Ultimate Frisbee. And I love sports, not just playing sports, I love watching sports. And so, just being sports-minded, I feel like I would have really enjoyed Paul's preaching. Because, you know, as you get into the Scriptures, one of the things that you see is Paul using the sports arena or the athletic arena to bring about, you know, all kinds of different spiritual truths. For example, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, he writes to Timothy and he says, "Follow the Lord's rule for doing his work, just as an athlete either follows the rules or is disqualified and wins no prize." Also, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26, he says, "So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I am not like a boxer who misses his punches." And so as you get through the Scriptures, you begin to see Paul using all these different sport metaphors or athletic metaphors to bring about a spiritual point. But I think his favorite one, his favorite sports metaphor to use would have to be running. How many of you like to run? Okay, for some of you, you're like, me not so much. I like sitting in front of my TV, or I like running to the refrigerator, but you know, nothing long distance. But Paul loved to use the metaphor of running. He loved to take this metaphor of running physically and compare that to this Christian race that we're running in life. And last month, let me just put this up on the screen. This is one of the things that really pushed me to begin the new year this way. Back in December, our family decided that we were going to be a part of something called a terrain race. Now, a terrain race is very much different than a regular race where you go 3 or 5 or however many miles you run. A terrain race is where you run, or at least in our case, we ran 3 miles, which also included all kind of obstacles. And some of you are thinking, what kind of obstacles? Well, there were walls that we had to scale. We had to go up and over. There were ropes that we had to climb or we had to swing across. There were big tires that we had to flip. There were chains that at one point that you had to pick up that was connected to big cement blocks or balls, and you had to drag those. You had to run with those for a certain distance. And of course, there was mud. They would have these nets, and you had to get on your stomach, and you had to army crawl under these nets through the mud. And there was even a time where I was up to my waist in mud, and we had to trudge through that for this, you know, long distance. But it was tough. I mean, I'll go ahead and tell you guys, it was tough. Not like a regular race. It's not just running the miles, but rather there are all kinds of obstacles that are in your way that you have to go through as well. And what I want to do to begin this new year is I want to do like Paul. I want to kind of take from him this morning, and I want to use this race or our race experience as a family to share with you some things that I think will help us in the Christian race for 2020. And here's the first thing I want to share with you this morning. If you're taking notes with me, this is whether you're running a regular race or whether this is the spiritual Christian race that you're supposed to be engaged in every day, is something we have to train for. I'll never forget the day before we were getting ready to do this terrain race. I was kind of blown away. We were together as a family, and Liesl just kind of nonchalantly says, "You know, I'm kind of nervous about running this 3-mile race." She said, "You know, I really haven't trained for it. You know, I haven't put much time into it this year." Now, listen, I had no idea this was a 3-mile race. My thoughts were, okay, there's all these obstacles, and so maybe it's a mile, right? And then all this other stuff is kind of thrown in there. And so this was new information for me the day before. And I remember looking at Liesl going, "Do what?" And she goes, "Dad, you had no idea, you had no clue that this was a 3-mile race." I said, "I had no idea." And so now I'm very concerned. I'm like, man, I should have been training for this. I should have been getting my body ready for this, because no normal person, I mean, some of you may be able to do this, but no real normal person is going to be able to just go out and run 3 miles without any problems, without any type of training, without, you know, spending some time doing a little bit of running. And so I was very, very concerned. We have to train when we run physically, but as Christians, we have to train and we have to be disciplined in our spiritual lives for the Christian race as well. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and again, he's using this metaphor of a race. He's comparing it to the Christian race, and he says, "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize?" And then, Daryl, look at this next part. He says, "So run to win." See, you guys make fun of me for being competitive, but even Paul says, "Run to win." You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all can get off my back now, right? No, I'll explain that a little bit more detail later. He goes on to say, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. And I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I feel that after preaching to others, I might be disqualified. Paul knew exactly who he was writing this letter to. He knew his audience really well. You see, Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. And so as he's using this metaphor, this analogy of running the race, the Corinthian church would be able to understand this really well, because right outside of Corinth was something called the Isthmian Games. And this particular event was only second to the Olympics as far as important. I mean, it was a really big deal. And a part of these games were running and racing. And one of the things that most everyone in Corinth knew was the fact that in order to be a part of these games, you had to prove that you had trained for at least 10 months. In other words, you had to prove that you had trained, that you had been disciplined in order to be in these games. And so now here's Paul. And he's using these metaphors, these same metaphors of discipline and training, which the church at Corinth would have understood, and he applies that to discipleship. He applies that to Christianity and the Christian race. Listen, we've got to be disciplined. We've got to train our spiritual body to do the things that it needs to do. Paul says we discipline ourselves to win. Now, I told you I was going to come back and explain this. Paul is not saying that only one Christian can be a winner in the Christian race. What he's saying is this: every Christian ought to run the way that a winner runs. Are you with me? Every Christian ought to run the way these physical runners run: discipline, training, getting their bodies ready to perform this race or task to win. And as Christians, spiritually, we've got to be ready. We've got to be disciplined. We've got to train so that we can win a prize that will last. At the end of our terrain race, this is what I won. This is my medal. And I got a really cool t-shirt as well. But, you know, here's the thing about a physical race. No matter what you win, whether it's a trophy, whether it's a shirt or a medal, those things aren't going to last. These runners, they discipline their body. These athletes, they go through all kinds of training to win a prize that won't last. But as Christians, we discipline ourselves. We train ourselves to run for a prize that will last forever. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, Slate, what exactly is the prize? Well, to Paul, really, it was two things. First of all, there was the prize of souls. Paul deeply wanted to win souls. That was his treasure. That was his crown. That was his reward. In fact, if you back up and you look at the previous verses in their context, Paul basically says, I'm going to do whatever I can to win souls. He says, I'll become a Jew to Jews. I'll become a Gentile to Gentiles. To those who are free, I'll be free. To those who make themselves under the law, he says, I'll be under the law. I'll do whatever it takes to win some to Christ. In fact, 1 Corinthians 9, 2 through 3, he says, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. And he says, I do all of this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessing. You see, what mattered to Paul was reaching people for Jesus. That was his reward. That was his prize. You remember what he says to the church, what he writes to the church at Thessalonica? He says in verses 19 through 20, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown, in which we glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes?" He says, "Is it not you?" He says, "Indeed, you are our glory and our joy." That's what mattered to Paul, was reaching souls. That was his prize. That was his reward, which, let me say this, the Christian race was never intended to be a solo sport. In other words, you and I, we should run this life in such a way that people in this world want to join us as we follow Jesus. People should look at the way we run in this life and say, "Man, I want to be a part of that. I want to join you in this relationship with Jesus." And so we run a good race for the well-being of others. But then Paul also ran to hear the well done of God. Paul was not ashamed to say, "Listen, my prize is to receive the praise of God in the end. For God to look at me on that day and say, 'Well done, you good and faithful servant.'" You see, it's important to understand that when Paul talks about the prize, he's not talking about salvation. He's not talking about heaven. In fact, as we look at this metaphor of running, really, we have to do it through the lens of Paul's message, which is grace. You see, Paul didn't believe that we get to go to heaven because we run such a good race. Paul believed that we get to go to heaven because Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth and He ran the perfect race. And so, grace is not nullified by the way we run, but rather it's verified by the way we run. Do you understand that? Do you understand what I'm saying to you this morning? We live for Jesus. We serve Jesus. We're out here giving and doing, not because we're marking off a checklist to say, "God, you owe me salvation." We do these things because we are grateful for the grace that we have received by God. Paul even goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. No, I work harder than them all." Notice the training language, the discipline language. "I work harder than them all." He says, "Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." Hear me again, salvation is not our reward. Paul himself says in Ephesians chapter 2 that our salvation is not a reward, it is a gift from God. Heaven is not our reward. Heaven is our inheritance. It's not something that we can earn. But let me also say this, heaven will be a place of rewards. And Paul knew this, and in particularly, the reward that he was looking for was two words as he crossed the finish line, and that was this: "Well done. Well done." You see, Paul knew that he was not saved to sit in the stands. He was saved so that he could make a difference for Christ with the time that he had left on this earth. And so Paul says, you know what? It doesn't matter if I'm eating or I'm drinking or whatever else I'm doing. He said, the question I ask myself is, am I bringing glory to God? That's what was important to Paul. That's what he's talking about here in the text when he talks about being disqualified. He's not saying that God's going to kick me out of heaven because I don't run a good race, or I'm not going to get into heaven because I don't run a good race. What Paul is saying here is, I don't want to lose my influence. I don't want to lose my witness for Christ. If I'm disqualified, if I don't run the race God has called me to run, then God is disqualified. And let me tell you something, Paul didn't want to have anything to do with that. He couldn't stand the thought of that. You see, what Paul is basically doing is he is rebuking careless Christianity. Christians who are running poorly, bringing dishonor to God. You see, as Christians, many of us are tempted to think as we go through this life, you know, what is the minimum I've got to do in order to be a runner? What's the minimum I can get by with to run this race? And that's the wrong question. When we ask those types of questions, we become spiritually unfit and we live way below our God-given potential. I mean, think about this for a moment. What Olympic athlete goes to their coach and says, "Coach, what is the minimum I have to train? What is the minimum I have to discipline myself so that I can run this race?" We would say that's absolutely absurd. No runner, no Olympic runner is going to say that. And so what Paul is saying here, listen, if you're going to run the Christian race, if you are going to follow Jesus, listen to me. He says, run to win. Give it everything you got. It's like in the sporting arena growing up, I was always told, leave nothing out there on the field. Don't you give it 10%. Don't you give it half an effort. You go out there and you give it everything you've got. You be who you need to be. And the same is true for us as Christians. We run the best race we can run. But that's going to take training. That's going to take discipline. Now, I don't have a whole lot of time left, but I want to elaborate on this. What does it mean to train spiritually? Well, a lot of these we're going to make in direct correlation with running a physical race. First of all, you got to watch what you eat. You got to watch your diet. Right, for those of you who run races or have run races, you know you have to be careful about your diet. And in fact, I'll say this. I told you guys at the beginning, I now am a part of something out in Lake Wales where we call it pickup, and we go out there and there's about 60 of us every Monday night and we play Ultimate Frisbee. And let me tell you, it's rough on the body, especially a 43-year-old man. But normally, I'm usually in pretty good shape. I eat healthy. I exercise. I work out just about every single day. And so I go out there, even at 43, and I can keep up with those guys. But during Christmas, I went home to my mom and dad's. And my mom made just about every dessert you can imagine. She made oatmeal raisin cookies. She made peanut butter cornflake treats. she made with my girls and Shepherd sugar cookies and let them decorate it with icing. She also made with them peanut brittle. Now, I'm talking tubs of this stuff. And then, on top of that, deliberately, she made my favorite dessert, which is angel food cake, smothered in cream cheese icing and topped with a cherry pie filling. And for a week, I had no discipline whatsoever. I'm telling you, I probably cleaned out a couple of those tubs of sweets myself. And then to make matters worse, normally I'm exercising every week, but for a solid week from morning till night, I sat there with my mom and dad and my family, and I watched every Hallmark Christmas movie known to man. I can even tell you the plot. It's the same plot. If y'all hadn't got the joke, it's the same plot in every movie. And so I come back on Monday night of this past week, and I go out to Ultimate Frisbee, and I am telling you, I told Julie, I felt like I was running in slow motion. I couldn't keep up with people. They were flying past me. And not to mention the fact I could not breathe. Because I was not disciplined. I wasn't careful about my diet and my exercise. And the same is true with us spiritually. Listen, one of the things most runners will tell you is you have to be careful about what you eat. If you eat too much before you run, that's not a good thing. If you don't eat anything at all, that's not good at all, because your food is your fuel for your body. But let me also say this. There are some things that we can put into our body that may not be bad, but you know what? It's just not smart. Are you with me? I mean, I don't think I have to go into where I'm going with this spiritually. But, you know, again, one of the things that people love to ask me about is, you know, is this something I can do? You know, they come up and they say, Slate, is this a sin? Is this something I can do? Can I go here? Can I watch this movie? Can I listen to this kind of music? Can I wear these kind of clothes? Can I take this drink? Is that a sin? And really, I think that's the wrong question that we have playing in our mind. I think a better question we need to be asking ourselves, is it useful for my witness? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, 23 through 24, he says, I have the right to do anything you say. He says, but everything's not beneficial. He says, I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. He says, no one should seek their own good, but the good of others. And so you're following me, right? I mean, there's some things that we can put inside the temple of God. And it may not necessarily be a sin, but it's just not good for us spiritually. I mean, it's like a runner. There's nothing illegal or bad right before you eat a race about eating a plate of chicken with a huge plate of fries and a large milkshake, right? But I think all of us would say, yeah, but that's just not smart. Bingo. Exactly. And so we have to be careful with the things that we feed ourselves spiritually. Here's a better question. Is it useful in bringing glory to God for me to do that? Well, what about this question? If I do this, am I going to run the best race I can run? this year. You see, some of our cravings aren't sinful, but they're not useful in helping us meet our full potential. And so we have to be careful. Paul says in Colossians 3:16 that we need to fill ourselves with the message about Christ and all its richness. We need to fill ourselves with Christ. And let me tell you something. When we start filling ourselves with the things of God, these, well, we'll call it junk food of the world that we're tempted with so oftentimes to put into our souls, we begin to lose our cravings for those things. Listen, I think most of us would say our goal for 2020 is to be a good Christian. To bring glory to God, to help other people come to Christ. But here's a question I want us to think about. I want you to answer this question yourself individually. Do I have a diet that is totally inconsistent with what I say my goal is? And if we say no to that, then we've got to deal with that, right? We all need to line up our diet with what we say the goal of our life is, or we end up getting off track. Here's the last thing I want to mention this morning as far as training is concerned. We have to control our mind. I would really say that our mind is, and being disciplined in our mind is probably the hardest part of any race. Because there's times when you're going to be running a race and things are going to get hard and all these negative thoughts are going to start popping into your head. Going back to the terrain race, I got about probably a mile and a half into the race. Okay? And really, I was doing good. And a lot of that is because I do play Ultimate Frisbee. I play basketball in the community as well. I exercise, and so I was in pretty good shape. But by the time I got to about a mile and a half and I'm going through all those obstacles, let me tell you something, some negative thoughts started popping in my head. I started thinking to myself, man, I don't know if I can keep running. I don't know if I can keep up with Jaden and his brother Dakota and Josh. I'm getting tired. I can't breathe. And let me tell you something. I had to really fight through some negative thoughts. And the same is true in the Christian race, because here's the deal. The enemy travels at the speed of thought. As you're running this race, some things are going to come into your mind, some things about God that aren't true. Go back to the garden, all the way back to the beginning. What was the big lie? God's character, right? Did God really say, man, God is holding back on you? God's got it in for you. Or maybe these are thoughts about yourself. Man, I can't believe you did that. You're a failure. You're never going to be able to do this. Or maybe there's going to be those thoughts spiritually. You know, is this really worth it? Or maybe I should take a detour here and get off course, at least just for a little while. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, this is what Paul says. He says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to bring it obedient to O Christ. In other words, when these negative thoughts start popping into our head, we take God's word and we put it side by side, because His word is truth. We take it captive and we say, is this true or is it false? We take our thoughts captives and we discipline them. We train our thoughts to line up with His word. There was a young man by the name of Howard. And Howard was a childhood schizophrenic. And his parents went to the best doctors money could buy, and those doctors said, your child needs to be institutionalized. You just need to put Howard in a home. Well, his parents came in contact with this professor of psychology who said, no, don't put him in a home. Bring him to me. And they did, and for 2 years, this young man lived with this professor, and he went through intense therapy. Now, here's where the story gets really good. Bruce King, and Bruce, I apologize, brother. I know the picture's blurry, and this is the best one I could find of you, short notice, but I think everybody recognizes you. Bruce, at the time, was a psychology major in college, and that professor was his professor. And one day he comes to Bruce and he says, Bruce, he says, look, he says, I have an assignment for you. He said, how would you like to go on a 16-day whitewater rafting trip in Colorado? Well, Bruce said, I've never really been camping in my life. But he heard that this was also involving some photography, and he loved photography at the time. And so Bruce said, okay, you know, I'm in. Well, later on, his professor told him that he would be taking Howard. This young man who's schizophrenic and should be institutionalized. And Bruce is responsible for this young man. Well, he also finds out a little later that they're going to be going down the Green River, which they're going to start in Utah, go all the way to Colorado. And, well, this is a picture he sent me of some of the rapids that they were going to go through. They would be going through Class 3 and Class 5 rapids. And he said, here's the deal. He said, we weren't in big boats together as a group. Everyone had to go down the river individually in their own boats. And when he sent me this picture, he says, this is just one of the rapids. And he said, our boats were half the size of that. Now, again, remember, he's responsible for Howard. And then he gets to the place where they're going to do the whitewater rafting, and the company finds out about Howard, and they weren't real sure they were going to let it happen. They weren't going to let him go. But they made an exception. And this is what Bruce told me. This young man who was schizophrenic, who doctors said would never come out of this, he ended up being one of the most social people on this trip. And Bruce went on to tell me this was the philosophy of the professor that was working with this young man. He believed if he could flood this young man with as much possible, with as much positive as he could, this young man could come out of this. And he did. In fact, this young man was up for the yearbook as a photographer. He later on, Bruce said, went on to even graduate. And so what we allow to come in our minds is very important. In fact, Bruce shared some things with me, just some of his thoughts. He said, you know, today we live in a multitask society where we're trying to do all kinds of different things at once. But listen to what he says. The mind can only really focus on one thing at a time. And he said, we choose what we focus on. And I love this. Bruce's conclusion was this: intentionality. Being intentional about what we focus on is what's most important. You may want to write this down. This is good. He says, we can't just let this life take us. Isn't that what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13? He says, be prepared in your minds for action and be self-controlled. Paul put it like this in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. In other words, we cannot run better than we think. And this is so important, and I'm going to close with this. This is so important because let me tell you something. As you run this race, there are going to be times where it's going to get really hard. And you're going to have some negative thoughts. Maybe about God, maybe about yourself, maybe about others. It may be that you're just, you know, you're going to want to quit and you're going to think in your mind, you know, well, what good is this? Where is this getting me? Or when you're hurt, I guarantee you, let me tell you something. When bad things start to happen as you run this race, Satan would love for you to think to yourself, you know what? No one's been hurt like me. No one's gone through anything like this except for me. And the truth of the matter is, we all hurt. Let me tell you something, and I think Bert McKee, who is a guy who can go out and run 15 to 16 miles just about every single day, but I think even Bert will tell you, no matter how much you train, no matter how disciplined you are, there are going to be times when you want to quit. There are going to be times when you're going to have some negative thoughts pop into your mind. And so when it's hard, we got to keep running. We got to run the best race we can run for the Lord. It's about Him. Today we want to extend an invitation. You know, there's no better way to start the new year than to start with a new you. Today you can become a Christian. And the Bible makes it very clear, whether it's Acts 2:38 or Acts 22, verse 16, that when we come to Christ, our sins are forgiven. They're washed away. The old is gone and the new has begun. For those of you who are Christian, it may be that maybe you've stopped running and you started walking. Or maybe you've stopped running and maybe you're just, spiritually speaking, you've become a couch potato. You hadn't been living for the Lord. You hadn't been serving Him. And man, what a better way today to rededicate your life to Him and to start this New Year's out on fire for the Lord. The invitation is yours. If there's someone who needs to respond today, won't you come as we stand?